Hello? Can you hear me? There you go. God is so good. Thank you, Pastor Obed, for wanting to do that. It was good. Thank you. Last week I had the joy of preaching about the resurrection. And during the week I came across this kind of randomly. And I wanted to share it with you. It was. Does everybody know what the Watergate scandal was about?
Yep.
Yeah. Some of the older ones remember. Watergate was a terrible thing. There was a conspiracy of some of the most powerful men in the world to spy on the Republican Party. So the Democrats spying on the Republicans, and they really thought they could get away with it. And Charles Colson was one of those guys that thought that they could get away with it. Wouldn't you know it? It's not here. He said that he was not a believer when Watergate happened, and he became a believer, a powerful, wonderful believer, very effective in the kingdom through his time in jail because the Watergate conspirators were caught and all that kind of terrible stuff for them, and it kind of disheartened the whole world, because you really couldn't trust the people in government. You know, it showed us that. But he said, the resurrection, the Watergate scandal and conspiracy showed me that the resurrection must be true. He said, how that happens is that 12 men saw something happen, and they were willing to live and die for it, and not change their story once. Many of them died terrible deaths, just as an editor's note. He said, the Watergate conspiracy, 12 of the most powerful men in the world couldn't keep that a secret for 2 months. Somebody's just going to let it out. Yeah. Yeah, it was a lie. They couldn't keep a lie, but you can keep the truth. And so he became a believer in the resurrection.
Wow.
And then dedicated the rest of his life to Jesus through that. Isn't that wonderful? You just can't doubt what the Word says. It's so good. Shelley had a word there, and it pretty much preached my sermon. So, what I wanted to do was remind us. We've had words this year that this is going to be a year of incredible stuff. God's going to be doing wonderful things, and we are. If you want, you can turn to Leviticus 25. We are in a year that, in the Jewish year, we're just over halfway through the year, right? Like in our calendar year, the calendar that we follow, we're 3 months into it. We've burned 3 months already. But in the Jewish calendar, their new year started in September, and so we're just over halfway through it right now. But this year is a year of Jubilee. A year of Jubilee. It's very awesome. And I wanted to read what that says, what the Word says about Jubilee. Leviticus 25 and verse 8. You shall count 7 weeks of years, 7 times 7 years. 7 times 7 is 49, right? Just for those of you that are mathematically challenged. So that the time of the seven weeks of years shall give you 49 years. Then you shall sound the loud trump. Ooh. Anybody been paying attention to the to the election in the States? They got a loud Trump down there. Now, come on, if I'm going to have to explain all my jokes, you got... On the Day of Atonement, you shall sound the loud trumpet through all your land, and you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land and to its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, when each of you shall return to his property and each of you shall return to his clan. That 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of itself, nor gather the grapes from the undressed vine, for it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You may eat the produce of the field. So the idea is that they weren't to plant crops and expect to have an increase that year, that it would be a year of God's miraculous provision. God would miraculously provide. There are a series of laws about Jubilee. And in Jubilee, your land was returned to you. So there's a, if you got into a place where you needed to sell your land, you sold it on the basis of every year till the next Jubilee would be taken into account for the sale price of that land. And what you could redeem it for, and so if they were 1 year into the Jubilee cycle, 1/49th would be taken off the full price of the land, and if you were almost at Jubilee, it would be 48/49ths would be taken off, and so it would reduce it as you got closer to Jubilee. But in Jubilee, all of your land is returned to you, so everybody starts over again. It's like passing go in Monopoly. It's a full cycle in God's calendar. And so in the year of Jubilee, there is miraculous provision, God's miraculous provision, stuff that you didn't plant, stuff that you're sowing where you are, you're reaping where you didn't sow.
Wow.
You're living in a way where you don't have to sweat for it. And what you had, what your family had, would be returned to you in the year of Jubilee. Amazing thing. I don't want to preach about Jubilee. I just wanted to acknowledge that we're in it, right? We're halfway through it, and it's that special year of Jubilee where debts are paid, where mortgages are paid, where personal loans are paid, where credit cards are paid. Those kind of things are just miraculously taken care of by God. By God's decree. And we are in, this is the 75th year of Jubilee. That doesn't seem like a lot, does it? But if you multiply 75 by 50, it starts to add up to be a fair number of years, right? 3,700 or something, you know. It's the 75th Jubilee year from the time they crossed the Jordan. Isn't that wonderful? Like, it's a historic year. You know, when Canada turned 75, there was a celebration. When Canada turned 100, there was a celebration. Canada's going to turn 150 next year, and there's going to be another celebration. So there's a celebration in the 75th year, 75th Jubilee year. Just imagine what it's like in heaven. They got balloons and party favors all the time up there. There is no recession there. And we get to tap into it if you believe that this is true. Because we are grafted in. It's wonderful stuff. And so believe with me for mortgages to be paid and miraculous provision. Anybody that has a personal debt, just put your hand up for a minute. I don't. This is not confession. This is just so you can receive. Mortgage, personal debt, credit card, overdraft, car loan. Jesus, this is the 75th year of Jubilee. We are in need of miraculous provision. We look to you as we believe your word. Would you pour it out, Lord? And would you bless each one as we show that we are in that place? You paid all of our sin debts without recourse. And we walk into that by receiving it. And so in the same way, we walk into what it is that you're providing for us here. We're halfway through our Jubilee year, Lord. Haven't seen it so far, so clock's on, Lord. We look to you in it all, and would you pour it out? We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sarah Sherman did a clock painting back there that we like very much. So you can see where we are. I don't know where what that says. What I wanted to talk to you about was sowing and reaping. And it just because it's one of those things that we need to talk about every now and then. Sowing and reaping is one of God's principles. It's one of those things like gravity. It is so true. Like it's there for everybody. The world might call it what goes around comes around. Or they misunderstand this a little bit, but karma has the same is built on the same principles that God's principle, God's law of sowing and reaping is about. They see it, but they don't understand it because they don't have the manual before them. We have the manual before us. God's plan, God's law of sowing and reaping, combined with God's law of increase. You know, things always are growing. You know, you put a seed into the ground, it grows, it increases. You know? So much so that there's fruit and all those kind of things. But God has this thing out there that anybody can tap into. It's not just the redeemed. So it's not like Jubilee is it had to be the people of Israel. Has to be the redeemed community. Has to be a covenant people that are a part of God's processes there. But the law of sowing and reaping is for everybody. Just like gravity will pull you back to earth, whether you're rich or poor, whether you believe in God or not. He put it into place, and it just is. The law of sowing and reaping is like that. It's an amazing thing. So let's look at that. Genesis 8, verse 22. How is my time? Okay. All these wonderful things we do in the service, and it kind of squeezes the preacher's time. If we ever want to get out of here. And it looks nice, so I want to get you out of here. Genesis 8, verse 22. Come on. While the earth remains. So that's a pretty long time. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, that's sowing and reaping. Seed time and harvest is another way of saying sowing and reaping. Cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. God's promise. Sowing and reaping is going to be with you as long as you can walk the earth. It's just that simple. Galatians 6. And verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. So whatever you plant, you're going to get a crop. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap from the flesh, or will from the flesh reap corruption. So if you're partying hardy, you're going to have a problem later on. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Amen. What a promise. The principle is you put a seed in the ground, and after a certain time, you will get a plant and fruit from it. So, for example, wheat takes 90 to 100 days. Farmer on the prairies knows that he puts the seed in the ground. Now, it's changed with GMOs and all that stuff, but this is the old seed, you know. What do they call them? Heritage seed. Thank you. This is heritage seed. Heritage seed, you put it in the ground, and you know you're going to be able to put on your calendar in a 10-day space that sometime in that time, the crop will be ready to take, to harvest. It's going to happen. But if you plant an acorn isn't going to come up in 110 days. You probably will not get a crop of acorns out of that oak tree for 20 years. Everything has a different gestation period and a different growth period and cycle, but it all does. You put the seed in the ground and it comes up. And so you get to reap the fruit of it sometime later. Now, what we just read in Galatians about sowing to the flesh and reaping corruption, often what happens there is that when, by the time the seed that was sown begins to ripen and be ready for reaping in your life, you've forgotten that you sowed it. And so if you did something really stupid, I'm not going to name a sin or anything, that gets crazy. But so you do something and you forget about it. But years later, something starts to happen in your life and you wonder, why on earth me? Why is this happening to me? Well, you're reaping corruption from what you sowed a long time ago. There's a direct correlation between what you did and what's coming. And it says, don't be deceived. God will not be mocked. His law is true. Everything you sow, you shall also reap. Now, I read something really interesting this week, and it's held by some interesting folks, but just let me read it to you here. So the point this guy is making is that Jesus used the law of sowing and reaping to facilitate his prophetic words, the prophetic words over him. Okay, so he knew what was written about him, and he knew that he had to sow something in order for it to be reaped later. Okay, so I know that I'm going to be hungry 110 days from now. I'm going to put some wheat into the ground, because I'm going to be able to eat then, right? And so he's saying, Jesus, by his action of driving out the money changers with, in quotes, a scourge of small cords. Remember Jesus, when he was upset, he went into the temple and he kicked over the table, and he's using a little scourge of small cords. It's a whip, right? So he's whipping, now, why? That's so silly. Just kick the tables over and tell them they're doing bad. But he's using this scourge of small cords, this whip. That's out of John 2:15. He's using that. Eventually, that increased into his own extensive whipping from the Romans. What he sowed, he also reaped. You catch that? So he's whipping the tables and stuff with this thing, and that's sowing a seed that he would later reap in whips on his back. He knew he had to do it to fulfill the prophecy. And so in order for that to be fulfilled, he knew he had to plant the seed. Isn't that a crazy thought? Kind of blew my mind. But God will not be mocked. Do not be deceived. Whatever you sow, you shall also reap. The word is scary sometimes. He relied on this law of increase to fulfill the prophetic word which said, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, from Zechariah 12:10. His strange request for swords on the night he was betrayed, out of Luke 22:36, caused the violence against him to increase until the Romans pierced him with a spear, though he was already dead, John 19. Jesus needed something to happen, knew that the law was in place, and so he planted something. In this case, he planted words, and those words that were sown brought a reaping, violence. Jesus said, go get swords. He never ever talked about swords. What's that about, you know? And so theologians have argued about it for since Jesus said it, and nobody's come up with a satisfactory answer. But what if Jesus, what if? I'm not trying to give you a doctrine. I'm just saying, look at the law of sowing and reaping and how amazingly powerful it is. Jesus sowed some words, and he reaped violence because of it. The violence that he'd already prophesied hundreds of years before would happen. Amazing. Blow your mind, science fiction stuff. Like, how does he do that? He's God, that's how he does it. So, seed time and harvest, they're going to be with you. Do not be, God will not be mocked. Sowing and reaping is upon us. In Matthew, or just rather than do Matthew, let's do Luke 8. The story's in three of them, but I just want to go to one place. Luke 8. In verse 11, Jesus is talking about a parable that he just told them about seed that's planted in different places. You know, they used to just kind of toss the seed out, and it, wherever it went, they broadcast the seed. You know, you take it, they have it in a bag, and they're walking along, throwing the seed out, and so some would land on the path, some would land among the thorns, some would land in rocky ground, and some landed on good ground, and so it brought forth harvest, 30, 60, 100-fold, right? You know the story. Oh, my time is too short to go over that, but you can read it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We're in Luke right now. Chapter 8 and verse 11, and it says, it's identifying the seed. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word. He's talking about the seed being the word of God in this particular situation, but Jesus plants seeds with his words. And we will do greater things than Jesus. Shelley had a word about the words of our mouth. The words of our mouth are so powerful. And we don't recognize that. Because if we say something negative about somebody, nothing comes back and slaps us in the face as soon as we've said it. I got away with one. It's not true. Be not deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatever you sow, you shall also reap. It says that they sowed the wind and they reaped the whirlwind. Cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days it will return to you. So it returns bigger than it went. It's an amazing thing. We don't recognize that we are supernatural creatures. That what we have at our disposal is powerful and brings results. You will reap what you sow. What has your mouth been sowing for you? Have you been saying negative things about people? You will also reap that. Now, there's provision in the Word for God to forgive you, and He can cut off reaping. You know, He's done that many times. But you've got to ask for it. That's sometimes why, this is just a personal observation, sometimes why we have storms in our lives. Tornado season in the Mideast, the United States, and the storm clouds come, and then all of a sudden there's a twister, and it sets down, and it can set down just on one house, or on a field, or on a whole area, and it destroys whatever is there. So whatever they were hoping to reap is gone. Sometimes God brings storms in our lives to cut off the reaping of the negative stuff. And so it seems like it's a terrible, ugly storm that we're going through. But if we talk to God in the midst of it, He'll say, just bear with me. You'll get to the other side, and things in your life will have changed. He's that good. And so our trust for Him begins to grow as we have relationship with Him. He can bring storms into our lives, allow storms to happen. I don't think He does it, but He allows storms to happen so that reaping can be cut off of some of the stupid stuff that we use our mouths for. Because if he didn't, we would be reaping it and then feeling bad because we didn't remember that we'd sown it in the first place. We have no idea how powerful our words are. This is our year of authority. And there's a positive and negative side to authority. When Esther had convinced the king that Haman was a bad guy, and that the king had written a bad law to allow the Jews to be killed, he said, "The law is out there. I can't repeal it. Like, it's going forth. It's gonna reap what it's gonna reap. The people are. I can't do that." So he had to make another law to overcome it. And to advise the Jews, hey, get weapons and smarten up, get ready, because it's coming. But what had been issued from his mouth with authority could not be taken back. Wow. We have incredible authority with Christ living in us that we must be so aware of what's coming out of our mouths. The power of life and death is in the tongue. The power of life and death in the tongue. That's an awesome responsibility. It says we'll be judged for every idle word. So even the things that we think we're getting away with, we're going to be judged for. I don't know what that means. I thought I was getting away from the judgment seat, but this is an amazing thing that God has put before us. But something that, if we believe the theologian that I just read, that Jesus made a little whip that became a big whip against him because he knew the power of the cycle of sowing and reaping. We can use it to facilitate the kingdom. Money can be sown into the kingdom with return. It's a law. You don't want to manipulate that, but it's a law. It's going to happen. You recognize it. What if you sow kindness? Kindness is going to come back to you. If you sow love, which we're supposed to do, we're supposed to be loving, loving, loving the whole world as Jesus did. We sow that, what are you going to get back? Every seed will return to its own kind. Love returns love. But if you hate, it says you've committed murder already. Right? So the law of increase, you're having a thought of hatred, that will eventually move to death because it increases. Well, it's just a thought. Watch it increase. The Word of God is an amazing thing. And He's entrusted it to us. The power of the Word of God. So how many of you would take a handgun and give it to your family, loaded, and say, hey, you can live with that? It's a powerful thing. You want to give them a little training in it, right? You want to give your family training, how to handle this thing properly. How to use this thing, because it can be used for good, but it can also be used for terrible evil. The Word of God is like that. The word of your mouth is like that. It can be used for great good. You can sow wonderful things into people's lives. You can call forth prophetically the wonder of who somebody is in the kingdom of God. I say to Stefan, you are a leader in the kingdom. What will that call forth out of him? What seed has been planted in there? That's going to bring a reaping in due time. I don't know how long that seed will take to germinate and to grow until it brings fruit. But I'm calling forth something. Because I am a prophetic creature, so are you. And the words that we speak bring forth fruit. And so when we call it, but if I was to say something negative, I don't want to do it to a person. So you are the ugliest chair that I've ever seen. If you mark this chair and look at it a couple years from now, it may well have cuts in it and gum under it, and you know, like, because there's a power in it. That's sort of funny, but I believe there is that sort of power in it. And so if you're doing it to a person, well, I was just angry, you know, and I have to let my emotions out. Stop it! Amen. If you had a handgun, would you kill them right now? Because that's what you're doing with your mouth. Stop using your mouth to sow seeds that will bring forth reaping that you don't want. You don't want your kids to grow up. Ah, you're useless. You'll never grow up to be anything. You don't want that to happen. You want to cut off that reaping. You don't want to be prophesying that over your children. And then later on you say, well, I don't know what happened in that child's life. They just never amounted to anything. I knew it, you know. Well, you prophesied it. Take some responsibility. Act like an adult. Act responsible. Be a supernatural person. And begin to speak with the power of the word to bring forth a righteous harvest. A righteous harvest. God will not be mocked. You will reap what you sow. In Mark 11:23, in the King James, it says, "You shall have whatever you sayeth." You know. Now, is that just the positive? I don't think so. That's talking about mountains. You know, mountains moving. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. It says in Ecclesiastes 11. Come on. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 4. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Even when you're working with physical, you got to watch what you're doing. Because the wind will take your seed where you don't want it to go. And so you want to be careful when you do it. And we sow with our words. We sow with our words. We speak into the lives of everyone around us. We're called of God to be like Him. We're made in His image. The seed is the Word. We must be a people of our words. We will reap what we sow. And it can't be used as a, I'm definitely going to say this to him because I want him to suffer. The word says when they reap the wind, they sowed the world, or they sowed the wind, they reap the whirlwind. You never know how it's going to come back. You know that it's going to come back. And so if you're trying to be nasty to a person on purpose, it'll come back against you as well as in that person. By the same judgment you judge, you shall also be judged. And so, like, you're all intelligent people because you come to this church. That's my test. Yeah, I didn't have to explain the intelligence side, did I? Intelligent people would hear the Word of God and follow it, actually make it a habit in their lives so that they no longer just blurt out horrible things to other people. And we begin to walk into our destinies. There's a beautiful picture of Saul, King Saul, back in David's day. King Saul is among the prophets, and he begins to prophesy like the prophets, and it says that he began to walk into his own prophecies as he left. You know, He's walking into what he'd said. We walk into what we said. We create our own future. You are the result of your decisions and what you have spoken today. You spoke those things in the past. You may be reaping things that you had no clue would come upon you. Does it come back as sickness? Well, where does sickness come from? We have theories. It's definitely the devil. But what causes it? Could it be the words of our mouth thrown out, just cast out, sown inappropriately, and then we reap it much later than we thought that anything would come back? And so you never put two and two together to make that. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not telling you that that's it for sure. I don't know for sure that a 45 caliber bullet would kill you, but I don't want to find out. I don't know that the laws applicable in this way, but I don't want to find out. Do you? Do you want to test it and live on the edge of having to reap terrible things the rest of your life? When you can make a choice for good things, I want to make a choice for good things in my life. I like me. And I hope you like you. The word says that you want to treat your neighbor like you treat yourself, you know? You're taking care of yourself. Well, begin to speak wonderful words, powerful words, prophetic words over everybody you get a chance to. Sow great seeds. We as a church have sown wonderful seeds over 24 years almost in existence. We have never given less than 20% of what we bring in to somewhere in the world, whether it's here to the poor or to churches here or that were in trouble or churches across the world. We built a church in the Philippines and we've kept orphans alive in Kenya, and we've helped the church in Cuba to have land for their leaders to live on and for a church to be built someday. We've done incredible things. We've taken instruments of worship all over the world. We've sown and sown and sown and sown. And we need to reap in this year. We need to. And I believe we will. We're right in the middle of Jubilee. Right in the middle of the year of Jubilee. And we have sown and sown and sown. I believe that God's word is true. And I've lived it to the best of my ability, believing that what you sow, you shall also reap. We have been kind. And we have seen the streets of Cloverdale change because of our presence here. We have a recognition of that down in the lobby. We have a thing from the RCMP saying that a number of people were saved in one winter because we existed as a church. They would have died. The RCMP were sure of that. And those kind of things, we have a whole resume full of that kind of stuff. And we get a chance to do that individually as well. What are you sowing? What are you sowing? Because someday you'll need to reap. Someday the day of testing will be upon us, and you will need to cry out to God for healing. What did you sow toward that healing? God will not be mocked. Whatever you sow, you shall also reap. So, worship team, could we have a song? Have you got one left in you, Corey? I know you were given it earlier. Depleted? He's got something. That's great. If we can sing, and then I'll pray for us all to, oh God, would you cut off the reaping, and would you the negative reaping, and let the positive reaping Just overflow us, overtake us, as the plowman overtakes the sower, you know? Yeah. So let's worship just a little bit.